Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, welcome back to the Everyday Warrior Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cirelli. We've got Federico Mochant, who is the CEO of Body Armor Sports Nutrition. That's the full name, but you more colloquially know it as Body Armor. You've seen it in stores. You've drinking it. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I've got to read this bio because this is, and I want to dig into this conversation. Based off a recent experience I had, and it's just going to be a starting point. But born in Miami, Florida, Mochant was raised in El Salvador, Central America, during a 12-year civil war. That's not something I would want any child, especially my own, to see. In this upbringing, Mochant learned perseverance, hard work, and defying the odds. These formative experiences ultimately led to his desire to move to the U.S., chase the American dream, and become a business leader, what we call the personification of the American dream, and that's you. You joined Body Armor as a CEO in 2022, so fairly recently, with the sole focus of driving growth for the company, and we'll dive into this. Through your leadership and excellence, you've been featured in Hispanic Executive for his role as a Latino game changer in industry, and in 2024, you also received the Cornerstone Award from the CEO of Operation Homefront for his commitment and partnership with the organization. And Homefront is a veteran organization. Remind me what they do.
They help servicemen and women from the military get back to civilian life after service. Help them buy homes, get mortgages, you name it. They're a great, great organization based out of San Antonio, Texas. And I've partnered with them for about 6 years. When I was with Chobani, we did a lot of work with them. Chobani still does a lot of work with them. And when I joined Body Armor, we started doing work with them as well. So John Prey is the president. He used to be with the USO, now is with Operation Homefront. Great organization.
So I'll give him a call right after this, see if they can help me out. So you were born in Miami, but then moved back to El Salvador.
Yeah, so it all starts back in, you know, in the 1970s, civil war going on in El Salvador. My mom, my dad, my brothers, we're all a family from El Salvador. And things got so bad in the late 70s when I was born.
Were you born?
79.
Okay.
Yeah. So remember,
so you don't look like you were born in 70.
So this is you know, the Cold War. This is the Contras, this is what was happening in Central America at the time. A lot of pressure from the Soviet Union, a lot of pressure from Cuba to try to turn Nicaragua, El Salvador, and all those countries in Central America, you know, to their side. So it got pretty ugly. And in, you know, the fall of 79, my mom and my two older brothers moved to Miami. My dad stays home because, you know, he has to still work. And I was born in Miami out of pure luck. So I was born 3 months later. Best thing that ever happened to me. I still say the Civil War in El Salvador and being born in the U.S. is the best thing that happened to me. A lot of benefits that I got later in life because I was born there. But we went back home. We went back to El Salvador when I was 4 years old. So back in 83, we went back to El Salvador. And the war was still going on. The war was still going on. So
the reason for that, was it monetary?
Yeah, it was, look, I would say the guerrillas at the time, or the communists, were trying to take power on at the time in the 70s, the military government, then a democratically elected government. So a lot of issues, a lot of social disparity, like in many third world countries, social disparity, the 1%, and 99%, and that was really at the crux of the civil war, was a lot of social disparity, and a lot of influence from the USSR and Cuba, trying to figure out, you know, how to take more countries around the US at the time as part of the Cold War. So, so we were on the receiving end of that, but I never got to appreciate really what the Civil War was until I moved here to the US.
Yeah, you were young. You were four.
I was young, so everything gets normalized. You know, we had electricity for 8 hours a day, and we were, you know, we didn't have electricity for 16. Supermarkets had no refrigeration, you know, and that directly connects to what I do now for a living. You know, our supermarkets were so crappy. I don't remember drinking refrigerated milk. It was always powdered milk, you know. So I remember, like, when we would get the opportunity to come to the U.S. for summer vacations, and we would go to either, you know, Florida or wherever, we would step into a Kroger or a Publix. Holy cow, it was like Disney World to me.
I was just going to say, it was like going to Disneyland almost.
It's like lit up and huge aisles and refrigeration and all these things and all these products. So, but again, during the Civil War, all these things were normalized. And, you know, I remember vividly in the second, third, fourth grade, you know, sleeping under my bed, not sleeping on my bed. And just because... there was allowed times when the fighting began, and the fighting began after 9 p.m., you know, and there was an agreement between the parties on when they would be able to fight. So it's amazing how, as a child with all my buddies and friends in high school, we just thought that was normal. I remember when I made the decision to come to the U.S. for college, I went to Texas A&M, like you. I remember I've never ran outside in my life. And I remember the first week orientation.
I'm sorry, stepping back, you came directly from El Salvador to Texas A&M.
To Texas A&M, okay. Yes. And I'll link the stories there. My family is a coffee family. They've been in the coffee business for years. Great grandfather, my parents, and you know, A&M's a great ag school.
Yes.
And I'm the youngest of 18 nephews or 18 grandkids. And a lot of our family, my cousins, worked for the family business. And so I just thought that was the thing to do, you know, graduate high school, get a great education for 4 years, get a social experience, go party for 4 years somewhere, then get back home and work in the family business. So a lot of my cousins went to A&M because of its agricultural, you know, program and all that stuff. So I thought I was going to go to A&M for ag business. I never ended up studying ag business, and I never ended up going back home.
What'd you major in?
Marketing and management. Yeah, just like you.
We must have sat in the same classes.
I know.
So for the audience, we both got to A&M in 2000. We both graduated in 2003. I was a marketing and advertising major as well.
Yeah.
So we had to have sat in some of the same classes.
I'm sure.
May's Business School.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into, and this is the experience I mentioned earlier, ran into in Detroit a keynote speaker, so they were filming a reel, and one of the young girls, you could tell she was Muslim. And I said, "Where are you from?" And she said, "Iraq." And I said, "You know, wassalamu alaikum." And we started talking. And there was a moment where she said, "Hey, I need to step away." And I thought I offended her. And I guess she went around the corner and started crying because she was in Iraq when I was there. And we were talking about the places I'd been. She's like, "I lived one block from the green zone." And we just started talking. She got emotional. And she came back and she said, I just want to thank you for bringing those memories up. I try to block them out, but you just made me think of the happy times. And she grew up during the war. You normalized it. And I guess that's what, it's almost a form of compartmentalization.
We normalized it. I normalized it, but then greatly appreciated it when I got here.
There has to be some trauma there, though. I mean, you must have known people, for people that don't know much of the history of Nicaragua and El Salvador during this period, brutality was, it was on a different level.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, violence, car bombings, it was par for the course in the 80s and early 90s. But again, normalized it and really got to appreciate it when I got here. Like I was telling you, simple things like electricity, like running water, like going out for a jog. Like I never ever went out in the streets for a jog in El Salvador until I got here. So at 18 years old, I'm this kid from El Salvador in College Station, Texas, going for a jog and just being the happiest I've ever been, thinking it was the coolest thing ever. I had never ridden in public transportation. So the Aggie buses, you know, the whole...
I can't remember what they're called.
The system of buses that runs around the school was the first time I got on a bus and you know, was not worried about a bomb threat or... You know, so the peace and the tranquility that I was able to experience in the U.S. just felt like something I've never felt before. And it just felt so amazing. That combined with, you know, I talked about social disparity in El Salvador. And it's, I tell people I grew up in a bubble because it's a country of 6 million people with huge social disparity. My family's in the coffee business, in the agriculture business. Everyone knows who you are, you know. Everyone knows who you are by first name, second, last name, you know. Actually, you introduce yourself in El Salvador with your first last name and second last name. Your dad's last name and your mom's last name, because people want to know
which Moishant is your father's last name and your mom.
That's my father's last name, and Garcia Prieto is my mom's last name. But yeah, I would have to use both because people want to know who your dad was and who your mom was.
Yeah.
So, being in a place of peace and freedom was to me something insane and an experience I've never had until I came to the U.S. And then the second one is just not being someone's grandchild or son or little brother. In the U.S., you're just a number. And that's I just thought that was the most amazing thing.
You found beauty in that.
Yes. I found beauty in the fact that no one gave a crap what my last name was and who my dad was and who my oldest brother was, or, you know, and which was amazing, just because if you work your ass off, and, you know, I'm a strong believer that hard work works, and you make things happen for yourself. So those two realizations, the fact that I had the freedom to do a lot of things that I've never done before, but the fact that hard work and how much I put into whatever I was going to be determined to do were going to be two things that I had in my life. It was a quick decision. Maybe 2 years, 3 years into my college career, I said, man, I'm never going back. My mom is still down there to this day. One of my brothers is down there. Like I'll go visit, but it's going to be a vacation place for me. This place that I've been now in the U.S. for 25 years is just amazing. Amazing. It's the land of opportunity, you know, and for me, it's provided all of that.
And it's no surprise why so many immigrants are trying to get into the country. I mean, it's. Would you say it's a fair, and you've heard this before, it's the beacon on top of the hill that everyone's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's crazy. It's amazing how it presents you the opportunities. It's up to each and every single one of us to take them or not take them. right? To work hard or not work hard. And at some point in that transition, you and I were in College Station, Texas for 9/11. I was able to experience something that I've never experienced before in my life. And like the patriotism that I saw after 9/11, President Bush with the megaphone on the rubble and President Bush throwing the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. That was, I would say, the defining moment where I started to identify more as an American than an El Salvadoran. Nothing against my country, nothing against my home country. I love El Salvador. But I was born here.
American citizen.
I'm a citizen, but at that point, after 9/11, I'm like, holy cow, this is just beautiful, to see a country unite the way everyone did in this country. I've never experienced that before because I've always seen division, massive division in the Civil War in El Salvador. There was never a united sense of patriotism, and I was able to experience that after the tragic events of 9/11.
And that solidified for you. You were proud to be an American citizen
at that point. Like I kid you not, and one of my brothers still gives me shit for this, but I started to be more of a U.S. men's national team soccer fan over El Salvador, and I started to
yeah, that's pretty disloyal, dude.
Yes, it feels like disloyal to El Salvador, but it changed it for me. I started to put my hand on my heart for the national anthem. I didn't necessarily identify as an American before that moment. And at that point in time, I was not only identifying myself as an American, but a proud American. And since then, I've been, a big fan of everything that this country and the military and guys like you have been, have provided us. They say freedom isn't free, right? So a lot of servicemen and women, I've had a lot of respect for what they've done and they continue to do for our country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got respect for the ones that are holding the line now and thankful that they protect my family because I'm broke as hell. It's almost similar to your father's name and your mother's name. It's Americans still identify with Italian-American, Mexican-American. But even though their heritage comes before the word American, they feel such a sense of pride because it really is the only land. And again, you talk to any cab driver who picks you up in New York, who's from Nigeria, and just to hear the pride of being an American citizen and having known tragedy and just brutality, and that they're no longer capped in terms of their social stance, that they can, if they're willing to work hard, they can elevate within this country, and that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Americans lose sight of that who were born here, and that's all they know. And it's almost you give an American silver, they'll bitch why it's not gold if they're not worldly and travel, and they they're not rich in perspective, which I think only comes from world travel. Mm-hmm. You said hard work. In any leader we've had on this podcast, that's probably the number one thing. Hard work can overcome maybe lack of high IQ. Mm-hmm. It can overcome, let's say situational awareness, although all those help. High in intellectual horsepower may make things easier, but hard work is the ingredient that pushes anyone to success. How do you feel you work harder than those around you? What are the things that you do that you think has propelled you to become the CEO of a major just behemoth?
I take a lot of inspiration from two people. One of them was my dad, and this is a guy, and I'll tell you the story about my dad later, but this is a guy who, when I was growing up, I would always see him leave the house at 4:30 in the morning. He would go and see his plantations. I mean, this guy left the house at 4:30, would come back at 7, worked his ass off, So growing up in already, the circumstance that we were in, he was putting his life on the line every single day to go see all his, you know, all his plantations and work and all that stuff. So again, hard work. I saw it every single day growing up, every single day.
Did you guys ever have to work the plantations?
No,
as a young,
no, we did not. We did not. So later in my life, I've taken a lot of inspiration from a lot of people. I would say, Kobe Bryant, who has a lot to do with body armor. You know that Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe Bryant was a major influencer, first investor and founder or co-founder of the Body Armor brand. Kobe talks about how hard work in a way that I identify with quite a bit, which is just out-hustle everyone. More hours in the day. Or like Arnold used to say, sleep faster. You know? Kobe was up at 4 a.m. before everyone else, and Kobe had already put 2 hours in the gym before everyone else. I've taken that approach. I look in the industry that we're in consumer packaged goods, like smart people are all over the place, you know, from great schools. So you're not going to outsmart people. But I definitely try to outwork people. And I try to approach every single day, and outwork people by putting in more hours to my personal routine, my family routine, and then, you know, we were talking off camera about work-life balance, and someone you had recently talking about what is work-life balance or what is balance. I think throughout the course of the last 10 years, I've figured out how to sleep, how to work out, how to eat, you know, and how to put me in a position to just be able to be fully energized for an extended period of time and dedicate more hours. And I know for a fact that I'm outworking every single one of my competitors in terms of office work, but also in preparation physically. I'm up every day at 4:45, 5 in the morning. I'm working out by 5:30, you know, 60, 70 minutes per day. I get enough time with my kids in the morning, and then I'm able to separate the thinking from the executing. And I use, you know, to give you an example, my daily routine, 4:45 a.m. wake up. I don't work out until 5:30. I use 45 minutes to, it's not meditation, but I just quietly think about my day. And so I take a look at what's happening that day. I pretty much write out all of my thoughts. And for those 45 minutes in the morning, I think about what meetings I have, what's going to happen in that meeting, what are you going to say, what is, you know, every single scenario during that quiet moment with a cup of coffee for 45 minutes, it's the thinking time. I'd like to think that for the rest of the day, when I show up at the office at 8:30, from 8:30 to 6, I'm just executing what I thought about during those 45 minutes. So how am I outworking others? I don't think a lot of people are up at 4:45 in the morning. I mean, maybe Jocko and those guys who are, you know, a little crazy, 4:30. But
that's not crazy.
It's not.
I think it's a minority, but I mean that minority is probably hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, and I figure that if I do my physical work and my recovery work, the energy that it gives me for the entire day, but also the mental clarity and crispness that it gives me for the day is something that I really value. So it's the workout. It's that I do a lot of recovery, both cold treatment, hot treatment. So
cold bath?
Yes.
Okay.
20
sauna.
Sauna about, yeah, 3 times 20 minutes, so about 60 minutes a week. And then cold plunging, roughly about 15, 20 minutes a week, 3 or 4 sessions.
I love cold plunging.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure for you, it's like the cold is like, you see people get in, they're like, oh, it's the fight or flight. Oh, oh. You probably just get in and it you know what? It wakes me up. That's all. It just, when it lowers my core body temp, I just feel like I'm a little more alert. I've got it right here in the backyard. I do it 2, 3, 4 times a day. So especially after lunch, when you get that lethargic full stomach, I'll just go jump in and it wakes me up.
It's awesome. It's crazy. What I haven't been able to do is do it before the workout, which they say is beneficial.
So in there's data, if you do it after, we're talking just micro influences on muscle growth, is that it could stunt it if you do it immediately after your workout. So I do it before, because again, it makes me alert. It wakes me up. You bring up Kobe and even your story. And did you meet Kobe?
No.
You didn't have the opportunity? No. So he's a mentor from the afterlife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty normal. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt is like the GOAT in my book. But people assume, he was just talented than everyone else. He was just smarter than everyone else. You know, same with you. Oh, he's just a smart individual. He has it easier. It's the hard work that nobody sees, but they assume because you're successful that there was just some advantage you had over others.
Yeah, no. If you look at Kobe, he perfected. I see a lot of similarities of Kobe Bryant with Michael Jordan. I like to say Kobe gave me an extra 16 years of Jordan, you know, and I was a huge Michael Jordan fan. But I think he perfected the mindset part of the game, you know. Physically, he was gifted, but he was never the fastest. He was never the tallest. He was never the strongest. So it's hard work that put him in a position to do that. If you remember Kobe getting into the NBA, like at 18, he was a skinny guy, not a great jump shooter, you know. So he had a lot to work on in terms of his game. But what he did with the Mamba mentality and the mindset, and then he wrote about it, and then he taught it, and now it's something that it's ingrained in the culture of our company. I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing, and it's, you know, one of the core principles of the Mamba mentality is this notion of just getting better every single day, this obsession with getting better. Did you get better today than yesterday? And this competition against yourself, you know. And it resonates with us a lot because, you know, in this game that we play, you know, against our competitors, we like to think of body armor as that superior drink.
Yeah.
That is made with nothing artificial, that has no artificial colors, no artificial sweeteners. It has coconut waters. It has superior hydration. I still think that this drink that we have in front of us here is ahead of its time. But I am convinced that if, you know, and we're still a relatively young brand, we're only 15 years old. I am convinced that every individual that picks up a body armor instead of our competitor is making a better choice and it's making their life better and it's making their today better than yesterday. And if you do that day after day after day, like Kobe said, eventually you don't only crush your goals, but you achieve your dreams. Right, so he talked a lot about the journey, not the destination, and that's why I'm so freaking hyped about, you know, this job. You know, like I told you, back to being a kid, believe it or not, I knew I wanted to be in this business for a while because of like I just loved U.S. supermarkets. When I came to the U.S., I'm like I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm gonna be in the grocery business or selling something. And I would watch The Price is Right with my grandmother, Bob Barker. You remember that? Bob Barker and The Price is Right, I would watch. So I not only did I thought the U.S. supermarkets were cool, but I knew all the prices of like Cheerios and stuff, like weird. So I had a fascination for the industry. And look, I at first I got what I could get, you know, in terms of jobs. I always worked with very pretty good companies. But throughout my career, I've been kind of figuring out how to connect my passion, you know, my passion for the industry connected with the passion for health and wellness and my passion for sports. And it's culminating in this job, which, man, I honestly, it's a dream job. That company that I worked with before, Chobani, the yogurt company.
Yes.
You know, I ended up with them because they're in the industry, but also like I got massively, I got enamored with this whole idea of gut health and the microbiome and how important gut health is for overall health and mental health. And, you know, and cultured dairy is a big, big deal in terms of pre, pro, and postbiotics. So whenever you're able to combine your passion with what you're good at, it's only, it doesn't feel like work. And I think that's what Kobe was able to perfect in the game of basketball. You know, he was able to create something else outside of the game that to this day gives him a, you know, an aura. So it's awesome. And to me, this is the perfect triad of the industry, health and wellness, something better, and then sports. I grew up a huge sports fan in El Salvador. Obviously, soccer was a big deal for us, but American sports were
basketball, baseball, football.
Yeah, all of them, yeah.
The real football. I'm joking. Explain to me your sort of, I say, pedigree or journey. So, one, you've got to tell the family you're not coming home. You're not going into the family business. I'm sure there was a little bit of a allergic reaction there, or maybe some disappointment. Mm-hmm. What was your first job out of college?
I actually came here to Austin. I worked for Dell Computers up in Round Rock. Yeah, I knew I wanted to get into this business, but I couldn't get a job. It was it was 03. It was not easy to get into the consumer packaged goods business without an MBA at the time, you know, and particularly in marketing. So I remember getting a job offer from Sears and then one from Dell. And I'm like, all right, you know, Dell's a great company.
Yeah.
But it's a different type of marketing, right? It's a different type of marketing. It was an awesome experience. Awesome experience. I was able to, live here in Austin, which is a great town. After college, I was able to go to Panama when Dell was opening their Latin America headquarters in Panama. So I went out there for about a year and helped them with that. But eventually I did my MBA. I wanted to go and do my MBA to be able to get back and get another shot at getting in this business.
Where'd you get your MBA?
At Rice.
Rice, okay.
Yeah, Rice University in Houston, Texas.
Great program.
Yeah.
Great program.
Yeah, so at the Jones School of Business, great school, great experience, small class. And it was there that I got my first opportunity. I got an internship with Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati.
So you do have pedigree.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, talk about a school on top of my MBA.
Yeah.
I mean, Procter & Gamble is a great marketing school. But I went back for my second year of my MBA with an offer from Procter & Gamble. But then I wasn't 100% sure. I was engaged at the time to a lady that I did not end up marrying. And she hated Cincinnati, didn't want to move to Cincinnati. She wanted to stay in Texas. But I also wanted to explore other options. And I ended up working for Frito-Lay in Plano. I loved the idea of, you know, they have their own route drivers. They have their own DSD muscle. They're able to... You know, they're quick, they're entrepreneurial. And out of the big companies, it seemed to me that they were the most entrepreneurial. So I worked at Frito-Lay. That's where I started my career for about 4 or 5 years. And then one of my good friends now and mentor at the time at Frito-Lay had moved up to New York to work for Dannon, the yogurt company. And he brought me up, called me up and said, hey, we're building a strategy team here. We have an issue that Danone is a French company. We have a lot of the expats, the marketers, are French, and a lot of the sales guys are Americans. It's like oil and water. It seems to me like you can get you can get a little bit of both cultures. So we're going to start this kind of like commercial organization that is going to join, you know, in between marketing and sales. So that's when I started, you know, I was 29 at the time. I had already started kind of this health and wellness, what I call self-discovery or journey of just getting healthier and understanding what I was eating and, you know, getting into your 30s, trying to figure out what was good, what was bad, what was I overdoing, underdoing. And that's when I started to get very interested in gut health. And the Known was a health and wellness company, you know, biggest dairy company in the world. And then it was an opportunity for me to get out of Texas and figure and see something else, you know. So I went up to New York and worked for Danone for about 10 years. 10 years, great experience. Did a bunch of roles all over the place with that company. And then one of the competitors, Chobani, up-and-coming brand, you know, I got a call from them.
They poached you.
Yeah, I got a call from them. And, you know, the founder, who's, you know, crazy genius guy, massive, you know, entrepreneur, big idea guy, had this idea of making Chobani a much bigger yogurt company, but also expanding Chobani across different categories. And I bought into that plan. And lo and behold, I was there for 5 years. And Chobani, we almost doubled the size of the company in about 5 years. And if you go to a supermarket right now, Chobani's a big yogurt company. Oh, yeah. But it has, you know, plant-based milk.
It's in the fridge.
Creamers. Yep. Coffee, you name it. So it was a great experience. It was a great experience until I got a call from these guys. So at Chobani, I was leading all of their demand functions. It's pretty much everything but their operations. And I got a call from these guys saying, hey, Coca-Cola just acquired Body Armor. And we're going to be looking for someone to lead it. And on top of that, you know, Coca-Cola manages the Powerade brand, who they've had the Powerade brand since 1988. We want to create the sports division of the Coca-Cola company. And we're going to keep you guys in New York, based out of New York. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, you know, let's do it. I was very familiar with Body Armor because of Kobe Bryant. Powerade, I think, growing up in Latin America, Powerade is a global powerhouse. I mean, Powerade is bigger than Gatorade around the world outside of this country.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you know, both brands, one that needed some love and attention in Powerade, but this one was a one-of-a-kind brand that had just blown up, you know, and in a two-horse race over 65 years, it was the only brand that was able to make a dent.
I was going to say, to penetrate category. Against Gatorade, yeah. And Powerade.
Many tried, and only one has succeeded since, which is Body Armor, which is great.
You know, I can't remember the last time I've drinking a Gatorade or a Powerade. It's, I mean, with better health conscious choices, it seems like a lot of people have gotten away from Gatorade. No hit on them. Just
yeah. No, look. I think as consumers, we're just becoming way more functional. Like we expect a lot more from our food and beverages, you know. And we're becoming much more savvy in terms of what's in our food and beverages too. So, I think when I say this product is still ahead of its time, it's because I do think that it has a lot of the properties that are very, very good for you, like all the vitamins and minerals and everything that we have, the electrolytes, but it also, it's the reduction of the negatives. So it's the addition of positives, reduction of negatives. So, you know, it's always gratifying to work for a company that you feel very, very proud to wear their stuff and, you know, drink their stuff. And you're doing good. You're doing good in the world. And making our today better than yesterday. We're focused on growth, and we're focused on, you know, consumers also as they become more functional. This is a category that's also expanding. The hydration category is expanding. You know, I brought you some of our powders.
Which I did. Let me say, so I don't know which one this is. Flash IV. This tastes a lot better than let's just say other brands. No yeah. reason to call anyone out, but it's the taste is actually pretty legitimate.
So I think you know there's two big segments in hydration that are growing tremendously. The first one is this one. This is called rapid hydration. You're going to see it in the stores. It's different because it's in a square bottle. But it's pretty much for extreme heat, extreme exhaustion, or even extreme hangover, believe it or not. And we called it Flash IV because of how many electrolytes it has. It's almost equivalent to getting an IV. And this is the powdered version of it. So these are segments that 3 years ago, honestly, were not on the map. We're not on the radar. But, you know, you're talking about...
For Body Armor or as a whole?
As a whole for the category.
In the market. Okay.
So that's where our focus has been lately. Yeah. This product right here has over 2,000 electrolytes. You know, where this product, our regular Body Armor, has roughly about 1,000 electrolytes. You know? So it's just a different level. Now, if you taste the products, this one's going to be slightly saltier.
Yeah.
Because of the level of electrolytes.
Yes.
And that's obviously the powdered version. You can moderate it with how much, you know, water you're using and stuff. But it's exciting. There's four things on Body Armor that we promise our consumers. We promise superior hydration, meaning we will always try to have more electrolytes than anyone else. We're better for you. If you look at a nutritional label, vitamins B, C, zinc, magnesium. We believe we have superior taste and the most important brand promise, which is nothing artificial. We'll never break that promise. We'll never put anything artificial in a Body Armor product.
Selfishly, I've been starting to take a different brand at night before I go to bed. Found I wake up without, I've got headaches, with less headaches or less severe. Somebody's going to have to send me a few boxes of that. I'll go on socials. Not that I have a massive following by design. But talk to me about the, you're clearly passionate for what you do. Is everyone below the CEO passionate? Talk to me about the culture and sort of the non-negotiables within Body Armor that people have to demonstrate in their behaviors if they want to remain a part of the team, a valued member of the team.
Look, I think leading with passion and heart is important to me. But it can't be faked. It has to be real. Like people will see through you if you're full of shit. So, I expect the same out of everyone on the team. Do you truly believe that we have a superior product? Do you truly believe that we can make people's lives better? You know, to me, if you're able to find a why, right? If that why, if that bigger purpose is genuinely something that drives energy or gives you energy, actually, if it gives you more energy than the energy it consumes, it's magic, right? Because at that point, you're just going. I expect the same out of our team members.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I asked him a lot. I asked that question a lot. Like, is this just a job for you? And by the way, it's okay. For some people, a job is just a job, and that's great. But particularly for leaders in the organization, they need to drink the Kool-Aid. And I'm not serving a fake Kool-Aid. I'm serving a real Kool-Aid, you know? So do you truly, truly believe it? And if that why motivates them, if that why gives them more energy than the one it consumes, I think that's a must for us to succeed as an organization. The second one, I would say, and I learned this as a soccer player, you know, team sports, you name it, in school, just surround yourself with people that are actually better than you, smarter than you. Many insecure individuals don't do that, and they end up with weak teams.
Yes, man.
You know, exactly. So if you surround yourself with people that are just better than you, more capable than you, and you unleash empowerment, man, like you can do a lot. You know, so the empowerment model is something that we strongly believe in at Body Armor. I don't believe in command and control. I believe in, you know, I believe in a small center and the power in our people. And that way we can move faster. We can make decisions faster. You know, 80-20, if 80% of the decisions we make are great and 20 are not, so
that's
be fine. It.
That's a winning, a winning average.
But we're moving faster, and then transparency, I think, is another thing that I've seen in corporate America, how sometimes, you know, we're not giving the entire picture, right? So if you're an associate, if you're an employee of a company, and you're told the what and just a tiny bit of the why, but you don't see the whole picture. At least me as a younger self, it would have been very hard for me to understand why the heck am I doing this, you know? So I try my very best to provide full transparency in the full picture, even, you know, to the most entry-level associate. Because if you understand what we're trying to accomplish as a company, then you understand what your role is within that bigger picture, you know. So I would say those are the must-haves: passion, heart,
empowerment,
and then full transparency.
That's rare. That's how many people within Body Armor?
500.
That's a massive team.
Yeah.
The thing about leaders, I don't care if it's 50. I don't care if it's 500 or 1,000 or even more than that. You've got to empower the team. If you think you're going to have tight command and control, then you're going to be slow. And this business environment is defined by, if there's one word that comes to mind, it's speed. If you don't have speed, agility, if that's what you want to call it, you'll be outmaneuvered. Absolutely. In whatever industry or vertical you're in. It's almost a necessity. And I love talking about agility and adaptability. COVID. Did COVID change the game for you guys? And I know you came in 2022, but how did Body Armor make it through COVID?
I think COVID was an interesting time period. It definitely opened people's eyes to the importance of hydration. You know, because if you remember what you were told at the urgent care, wherever you went, it's like, hydrate. So I would say it really amplified the importance of our category. We call this the sports drink category. In industry terms, it's called isotonics, but it's a category that was $8 billion in size right now. Before COVID, it was $8 billion, or actually a little bit under eight. Right now it's an $11 billion category.
No kidding.
So it's a category that
that's worldwide or within the U.S.?
In the U.S.
In the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
Are you guys, I know you're domestic. Do you have an international presence as well?
So Body Armor, has been historically a US-only brand. We just launched in Canada this year.
Congrats.
And yeah, and we're doing pretty well up north. And then we're launching in Mexico next year. We're going to, you know, Powerade's a big global brand for the Coca-Cola company. So we're going to be super choiceful and figure out what are the right markets for a premium, you know, hydration, functional drink like Body Armor. So we'll take it slow. But yeah, ultimately, at the end of the day, we want to see this around the world.
When you're launching in a new country, that has to be a massive undertaking. I mean, from the marketing to the distribution, the logistics of it. And we all know the famous Ford story when they try to sell the Nova in the no-go in South America, how it was an abysmal failure and how a very smart team missed such a crucial detail like that. I mean, are you taking on new personnel for that or just tasking within the 500 to stand up a new initiative?
We have the advantage of being part of the Coca-Cola system.
Yes.
So, you know, we have experts and amazing execution partners in every single country around the world and the power of the Coca-Cola distribution network and the bottling system and all that stuff. So that being said, we have a pretty clear idea with Body Armor and how to tap into the passions of our Body Armor drinkers. And I think that's what's going to make it, you know, it's going to make us be very choiceful in terms of where we go. For example, here in the US, you know, we pick our athlete partners very, you know, very carefully. And we have longstanding relationships with whether it's Trae Young or Joe Burrow or, you know, Christian McCaffrey. We tap into the passion points of the consumers. When we went to Canada, you know, we wanted to make a big splash. And what is our religion up there is hockey. So we became the official sponsors of the NHL. So if you look at the NHL right now, you know, Body Armor, which, by the way, helped us a lot here in the U.S. as well, because there's parts of the country that are hockey towns. So we partner with Connor McDavid. And we went all in with the NHL. We partnered with Vlad Guerrero Jr. So we again tapped into the two Canadian passion points, which are the Blue Jays and hockey. And within hockey, I would say the biggest star currently of the league. So that's why we've been able to be very successful. And in a short period of time, it's been 9 months. I mean, our trial rates, our share, everything is phenomenal. So so that's the way to do it. You know, obviously, when we go down to Mexico, it's going to be maybe much more focused on soccer or other passion points. Now, you would be surprised how much the Mexican consumer is now watching the NFL and knowledgeable of the NBA. I mean, that's, you know, I think those leagues have been doing a great job of taking their product to Mexico and Brazil and Germany and all these other countries and gaining popularity. So I think we can use some of the assets and partnerships that we have already in the US to launch in other parts of the world. But we're also going to have to work with the Coca-Cola system in each country to make sure that we're tapping into the passion points locally.
I'm going to assume there's a good degree of stress or anxiety that comes with being the CEO of a major company like this. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to drive outcomes. If the shares are not going up, if the revenue is not going up, if operating expenses aren't coming down, you're hearing it, especially from a company like Coca-Cola. I mean, there's a lack of empathy when you get to that level if you're not producing outcomes. How are you dealing with that stress on top of how many kids you have?
Two kids.
13-year-old
daughter and an 8-year-old boy.
All right. Yeah. Congrats. I mean, how are you dealing with the stresses of a role like that? Because I know it's brutal.
I think it comes with the territory, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to ask me 10 years ago, would I take this job with all the stress? Absolutely. Hell yeah. You know? So it's, I see myself as a coach in a top tier college program, you know, we'll give you year one to figure it out, bring your team, bring your system. We'll give you year two to have one or two recruiting classes. Year three, where's the championship, you know, or where's the playoff appearance at the very least? So to me, it's not personal. It's business, and numbers are black or red. They don't have emotions. It's very factual. And we are hired and paid and expected to deliver results. So it's very black and white. In terms of how do I personally deal with it, I think we talked about the, you know, physical routine and recovery routine and all that stuff. I have a huge support at home with my wife. You know, I think I always say that my wife has been, you know, the best decision that I've ever made in my life. But
I would hope so.
Yes,
I would hope so.
It was actually the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, and she allows me to do what I do. You know, she gave up a very successful career so I could focus on mine. When we started having kids, you know, she does all the morning stuff for the kids, lunches and all that stuff. And she works out at night so I can work out in the morning and do my whole routine. She puts up with all the travel. So I think she's the hub of it all for me. Like I love her to death, and she's actually in this fitness journey that I've been for the last decade. In a little over a decade, I think she's been a huge part of it. She's been a huge part of teaching me how to eat, teaching me how to sleep, teaching me how to breathe. A bunch of this, she's been a partner. She's been a big supporter. So it's a great deal. It's a great way to deal with stress, to come home to, she's, you know, someone like that, who I absolutely love. And she's my anchor. She's my anchor. She humbles me, you know, because by the time I get home, I'm not the CEO anymore. She's the CEO at home. And she runs the ship. So
that's the truth. I don't care what you do. The second you cross that mat, roles change. And that is, I think, and you've heard Jordan Peterson say this, the most important choice you'll make in life is the choice you choose to partner with.
Absolutely.
In marriage.
I believe that. I mean, he's absolutely right.
And having one unsuccessful marriage under my belt, I've been blessed with the second. And you know, you're in the media by nature of what you do and what you're achieving, and it's the unsung heroes, the wives or the husbands at home that truly are influential in that, and don't get enough credit. You did bring something up. You know, you use the analogy of, you know, year one, you get to bring in your coaching staff, year two, the recruiting class. When you stepped into Body Armor in 2022, were there changes structurally, organizationally, or culturally that you had to make that just were not in accordance with what you knew was required to take Body Armor to another level?
Yeah, I mean, a lot, because Body Armor was a company that was operating as an individual entity that in late 21 was sold to the Coca-Cola company. So it was massive transformation for employees who were with the company, employees that joined the company afterwards. And, you know, there's a couple of things that were happening. One, you're now owned by a major corporation, which is an amazing 138-year-old company called Coca-Cola. So you're not an independently privately held company anymore. Second, you've seen Powerade as a competitor for the last 10 years. And all of a sudden they tell you, hey, by the way, now you're going to manage Powerade too. And you got to figure out how to make these two work together and become the sports division. So that was big change for a lot of people. And then just a lot, I would say the third was from a mindset standpoint, you had a lot of extremely talented individuals that had reached the pinnacle or the climax of the industry, which is to sell to a major corporation, you know? So it was a lot of change, a lot of change, a lot of change management. You know, in the first, it's been 2.5 years now, the first, over the last 2.5 years, we've roughly turned over about 50% of the organization. So about 250 new individuals have come in for different reasons, you know, but culturally we're a different company. There's some individuals that like to be part of startups. They don't like to be part of big corporations. There are other individuals. We needed some institutional knowledge from the big corporation, from the mothership, and we needed to bring talent from the outside. So we've created a mix of institutional body armor, passion, knowledge, the people who brought this company to where it is right now and the brand to where it is right now, people from Coca-Cola and people from the outside. So over the last, 2.5 years, we've been really focusing on establishing our own mindset principles, the different KPIs, the fact that now we have two brands that we need to get, to win against the big guy, the big Goliath. So it's definitely been a lot of change. It's establishing commonalities with one clear line of sight to what success looks like. And we have a very, very clear 10-year vision of where we want to be in the year 2035. So the goal was never about a sale. The goal was about being number one. And now we have...
Who are you going to sell to? Yeah, that, right. that one's done. Box
that, checked. That one's done. The goal is about becoming number one and ultimately having two brands instead of one makes us much better to be able to accomplish that. Gives us a much better chance. And now we have a group that's on board with what we want to accomplish.
How intimately were you involved in the process of selecting the new team?
My leadership team and the senior leadership team, which is roughly about 10% of the organization, extremely close.
Old acquaintances, where you picked up the phone or did you conduct a new search?
A little bit of both. They can't be all old acquaintances, yeah. Because then you're, I think you need to surround yourself not only with like-minded people. You need, diversity of thought is extremely important. Diversity of thought and diversity of experience. So we brought people from all walks of life and all walks of the industry. We had a lot of experts in beverage. I also wanted to get, people from outside of the beverage world, from the food space, it's just different experiences. And I think we have a rock solid team right now, extremely talented group of individuals out of Queens, New York that are driving the heck out of this business.
Well, dude, I mean, you guys have been crushing it. How intimately are you involved in product development?
Very much. It's at the end of the day, we sell a product that is consumed. Right. It has to be a great tasting product. So as much as we want to push the functionality of our product, it has to be a great tasting product. So packaging and product development is one of the things that I'm the closest to.
Fanatical about it?
Yes.
Almost?
Yeah.
To the detail?
Yeah, that's something that I learned at Chobani. But honestly, with both the founder and the president of Chobani at the time, nothing is more important than this. This is your crown jewel, So you need to treat it as such and make sure that, not only that, but quality is always, number one priority.
You talk about a shift, and I mean, you talk about a shift in health consciousness, yet obesity rates, as we all know, not to beat this, are extremely high within the U.S. I'm of the mind, I would rather get NAD plus IVs once a week and spend that money than buy a Porsche and I'll drive a lesser car. you know, it's amazing. Your temple is your body, and how much of America is not conscious to what they're putting into that thing that is going to be with you for life. Do you see that shifting at a greater scale? I think we have shifted, as you've said, people are more sleep conscious. They're more gut biome conscious, but it's still probably a small minority to the greater size of the U.S.
Yeah, I think starting with, I guess, the functional space, the athletes, it's a much more competitive landscape now than what it used to be 20 years ago. Every single athlete looking for that tiny edge, whether it's diet, nutrition, a workout routine. And I think that eventually cascades down to the rest of all of us. You know, the casual athletes, the corporate athletes, the high school athletes, yeah. College athletics. I mean, every single collegiate program now is staffed with nutritionists, and that wasn't the case 10, 15 years ago.
Well, I mean, you know? People are getting faster. They're getting stronger. You look at the athletes in the 80s to athletes now, it's because of those incremental improvements to even swimmers now with those specialized suits that jump into the Olympic pool.
So I think competition by nature will create us all to be more health conscious, because, you know, in our case, in the workplace, you know, we're working faster, we're working longer, we need to work more efficient. I think being physically fit is extremely important in corporate America, you know, especially if you're on an airplane 4 days out of the week and you're, you know, sleeping in hotels 4 days out of the week. And
is that your schedule?
That's pretty much it. Monday to Thursday, traveling, typically get back home on Thursday night.
Meeting with partners, distributors.
Yep. With, customers, partners, you know, you name it. So I think eventually, you know, it'll get to a point where to be competitive, you need to be healthy. And that's where I think we are. I think
even the ability to deal with stress is tied to your cardiovascular system and your health and associated brain health. But I've got to ask you first. I'm on the road anywhere from 250 to 300 days out of the year with keynote speaking on leadership and organizational culture. How do you manage what you eat on the road? Because I guarantee you probably get into Chicago at 10 p.m. You're starving. I'm sure you're using Uber Eats and DoorDash to some degree. Are you, again, fanatical about what you order? And do you sort of have it down to a few things and that's it?
I'm a little bit fanatical about what I eat. I became a very fanatical after COVID. I got introduced to the Whole30 diet. Have you ever heard of the Whole30 diet?
No.
This lady, Melissa Urban, you should have her on the show. I've actually met her. She developed this Whole30 diet. It's for 30 days. It's a reset diet. And pretty much you try to eliminate as much as you can for a 30-day period. Eliminate sugars, eliminate carbs, eliminate... You're pretty much eating protein, protein, vegetables, and fruits. Everything, you know, stuff from trees or animals for a 30-day period. And I did that during COVID, and it just changed my entire, you know. First, I also discovered in my college years that I have celiac disease.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I discovered that. So, you know, I've always limited my carb intake and stuff like that because I can't have wheat. But anyways, I did the Whole30 once, and I just fell in love with it. Now I do it three times a year as just reset periods. I do it in January. I do it in May. And then I do it in September before summer, after summer, and to begin the year. So,
clear, you know, mental clarity, sleep,
it's skin, you name it. I mean, you feel much younger. I mean, talk about, you know, been reading a lot about biohacking lately.
Yes.
And I think I would say the Whole 30 diet is the best, one of the best biohacks that is not being talked about.
Kidding.
But anyway, so I'm pretty picky about what I eat. And lately I've been trying to just eat as much protein as possible. I'm in my mid 40s. So 45, I don't want to lose muscle mass. So I always carry a bunch of protein sticks with me.
Yes.
Meat sticks, yep. Chomps. They're phenomenal. Some mezcla bars. Just try to eat as much protein as possible. But yeah, I try to keep it very simple to chicken or steak when I travel, you know, and not go
processed
sideways
foods,
with that stuff. Yeah.
Sashimi. That's my thing on the road, is I try to stick to sashimi, or, you know, I'll go for the bowl at Chipotle, keep it clean with whole foods. But, it's hard maintaining health on the road.
Yeah.
And when you're on the road, are you finding a gym or are you using the hotel gym?
Typically I pick my hotels based on the gym.
Yeah. I need to get better about that, but you get a workout in where you can. Are you look like a cardio guy. Are you a big time runner?
I do more cardio, than I should. Right now I'm trying to balance it. I'm still working on it, but I'm trying to do 30, 40 minutes of cardio a day I've been following this guy, Jeff Sutherland, who has, an app called, Midlife Fit Club. Anyways, he does a lot of
resistance,
lower body.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a lot of kettlebells, which I've never done before. So again, I'm just trying to not lose,
muscle mass.
So I'm trying to do 30 minutes cardio, 30 minutes of weight training, and 10 minutes of core. Core is the one thing that I've never stopped doing. And if I only have 10 minutes, I'll only do my 10 minutes of core.
I'm with you on that. And I've had some injuries that I've been working through, and plus the baby, where it's time to get back into it. And my wife is a beast. I don't know if that's a good way to describe my wife, but I mean, literally we've got a video of her doing 145 rows at 9.5 months pregnant. And I'm like, that's hot. So she's the fitness person, but the muscle mass has become so front and center, just, you know, again, with the health conscious sort of movement. But there's a great gal named Dr. Gabrielle Lyons, who's huge on sort of muscle mass, and that's how that's like the key to longevity, mm-hmm. and especially mobility. I mean, you look at people in their 80s or 90s, once they lose their mobility, it's like the mental part of it just goes away. I mean, when you can't move as well, like, it just, what's the point?
Yeah.
But maintaining, specifically focusing on protein, and yeah, minimizing carbs, but proteins, fat secondary, carbs tertiary, I think that's a key, in just getting your maximum protein intake every single day. And that's why sashimi or any meat-based thing is what I go with.
Yeah, and then, yeah, longevity is becoming super important, especially, you know, for you with a six-week-old. It, you know, having kids makes you think, like, man, I want to be around for longer, right? How can I not only be around, but how can I be there on the ground, like Atiyah says, be on the ground with your grandkids, playing and doing all these sorts of things. So it's definitely changing the whole fitness industry, how people are focused, not only on just having an edge in the competitive environment they're in the moment,
mm-hmm.
but how do I live longer? How do I live till I'm, what's Atiyah's, 100? He wants to live till his...
Centurion.
Yeah. Centurion. So it's great. I think it's eventually gonna cascade down to the rest of, to a lot of people. You know,
we recently had a guy named Norbert out of Florida, a German, interesting guy. I mean, guy you'd want to have a conversation with for 6 hours, but we had him on the podcast because he wrote a book that coffee is basically a drug. And John was with me, and John was supposed to be here today, but we're like, we vehemently disagree with you. We're not replacing coffee, but he had a very interesting take in that, you know, basically it lowers life expectancy, which we're not going to stop drinking coffee. Are you a bit of a coffee snob?
Yes.
Since it's in the family?
Not a snob, but I can't not have a day without my coffee, you know? I start drinking it at 5 a.m. I think I stop roughly around lunch.
How many cups?
4 to 5.
4 to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. No energy drinks.
I try not to.
Yeah. I think that the data's coming out on those that you're going to see a reduction
more than what it has. I just don't think that 200, 300 milligrams of caffeine at once is the right way for your body to take it. You know, a cup of coffee is 75, 80 milligrams.
Yes.
So I'll still have the 300 milligrams of caffeine, but I'll have them over an extended period of time.
Are you specific to a type of brand of coffee?
No.
No.
No. My mom still sends me, awesome. Whenever she comes up, she'll bring, you know, a big bag of our estate coffee from back home. So
that's huge.
I'll send you some.
Okay. No, I'd love to try it. I was a barista at Starbucks in my youth. It was an awesome job. Awesome job. Where are you taking Body Armor from here? I know you said you're focusing on some strategic partnerships like the NHL. You're working with the military, which is huge. I mean, that was always an issue in 110 degree heat index out there for 24 hours. I mean, we used to carry 8 1-liter bottles, but we weren't using packets back then in the early 2000s. What else are you working on with Body Armor to increase that market share?
I think right now we are obviously focused on what we have right in front of us. But I think we are strong believers that the whole hydration space will become even more functional. So how can we be at the forefront of functionality? You know? I think Body Armor, the company is called Body Armor Sports Nutrition. So it's not Body Armor Sports Hydration only. So how do we get more into the nutrition space? And I think that's the next frontier for Body Armor is how do we become that partner in your fitness journey? And within that, I think there's a lot of spaces that are very interesting to us. The first one is in fitness acceleration. We're really digging deep into, you know, the benefits of being in a ketogenic state, for example, faster. I'm an intermittent faster. I do 16-8. So it takes me 16 hours to get to a ketogenic state. Can we get there faster? You know, without the need for a 16-8 or, you know, or a 2-day or a 3-day fast. I think, so this whole world of ketones is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or ketogenic state, I shouldn't say ketones, but ketogenic state or an accelerating that state, fat burn and metabolism are always, so to me, that's one area. How can we be a partner to our consumers and fitness enthusiasts in accelerating that fitness path, right? Because we do believe that America will become much more fitness conscious and health conscious in the future. The second one is this whole space around recovery. You know, I think when you start a fitness journey, you think it's all about the working out. When you've been doing it for a long time, you realize that the recovery is far more important. The 22 hours that you recover are far more important than the 2 hours that you worked out, right? So this product already has 700 milligrams of potassium, which is phenomenal for recovery. How do we improve it, or how do we build a better recovery system with protein and with other recovery agents, you know, for muscle tissue, for muscle recovery? So there's a space there. And then the third part is something that we do continuously always work with our athlete partners is how do we continue to up the game in what we call the moment of sweat on the sidelines? How can we be a better partner to you, Mr. CeeDee Lamb or Joe Burrow or, you know, Sabrina Ionescu? And it's working with them to figure out how do we create, you know, this supreme top of the line elite partner for the moment, you know, for the moment of sweat. So I would say those are the three areas where we're exploring. How do we do that? And I think it's super exciting, super exciting. And I think I mentioned three big areas. You could argue that there's about 15 products in those three areas.
Do you consider this like a blue ocean that is still ripe for the taking?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting. Would you guys ever do a protein drink?
I think in the recovery space, protein, there's nothing like protein, right?
Right after the workout.
Yeah.
It just, some of the products are not top of the line, but mm-hmm. they've just been first, they have first mover advantage.
Yeah.
But that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of opportunity. And then look, we have the biggest sporting events in the world coming to North America. We have the World Cup coming in 2026. We have the Olympics coming in 2028. We have the Club World Cup. If you're a soccer fan, the Club World Cup will be here in the US. So likely the Women's World Cup will be here in 2031, mm-hmm. right? So the next decade, everything's going to happen here in the US. So it's a huge opportunity to put our brands with the power of Coca-Cola, and you know, to put our both our brands, Body Armor and Powerade, on a pedestal.
I do remember the World Cup. What was it, 1996, I think, or 1995? 94, was it?
Yeah.
I do remember the Brazilians, because we got Kat over here in the corner. Brazilians came to Palo Alto, and you guys party. There was a lot of drunk incidents. Good on you. Rabid fans. You, Fed, we end this by asking our guests, you know, some people are concerned about legacy, some people aren't. Whether people say they aren't concerned, I think it's a bunch of BS. I think you want to be remembered for something. Why wouldn't you? It's just human nature. What are those three things that sort of drive you to cement your legacy in life? I know kids and family are the easy one, but what beyond that drives you? What do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah, it is easy, but I think my two kids are what you leave behind, right? And their kids. And so they end up being a manifestation of who you are as a person, who you are as a couple, and what you taught them at home. So that's by far and above the most important. I think how you inspire others is the real legacy that we all leave behind. And, you know, whether they write on it, whether someone writes about it in a book or not, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, what I'm trying to do is, if I can inspire someone, anyone, whether it's on this podcast or at work, like if I'm helping someone's life with advice, or by providing inspiration, or by providing guidance, that's the legacy. You know, ultimately, just being a force of positive energy. You know, negative energy is such a freaking cancer. I'm an optimist by nature, and if I can inject positive energy into someone's life, and make their day better, or make their career better, or make their life better in any way, shape, or form, I think that's how I want to be remembered by, as a guy who was always in a good mood and happy, and you know, saw the world through a lens of positivity, not negativity.
Stephen Kotler wrote about that. We had him on the podcast in a book called In Our Country, and data shows that people that are optimistic live 9 years longer than those who have a negative mindset. 9 years. Wow. I'll take those 9 years.
Yeah,
I will take those 9 years. You mentioned a book, dude. Your life story is a book. Have you ever thought about potentially doing that?
Not at this point, but
I know a few people that would love to write your story.
Yeah, I'll think about that.
Yeah, I know you're busy. I know you're busy. You know, we've never done this, but is there anything you want to say to your team at Body Armor right now? Anything you want to tell them?
I'm very proud of everything that we've accomplished so far. but I'm much more excited about what's to come. You know, they say, I don't know who said it, but they say never let your memories be bigger than your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
We've accomplished a lot with these two brands, but I don't want us to ever be happy. I don't want us to be content, because what's in front of us, and we talked a little bit about kind of like what the future looks like, what's in front of us is so much more exciting, you know? And we're every single one of the 500 associates that is working in this venture with us has signed up to be in the biggest battle in the history of our industry. No one has had a grasp on a category in packaged goods like Gatorade. Think about it. Gatorade invented the category. They were 100% market share for 40-some years, you know? And then Powerade came along, and then now Body Armor. So talk about an underdog story. You know, I identify myself as an eternal underdog, kid from El Salvador that came to America, lived the American dream. And now, you know, nothing motivates me more than being in this biggest, in the biggest fight. And I think the team feels the same way. So everyone who signed up for being part of our team is a little cuckoo and crazy. But it's a great fight, and we're doing a great job. And we're going to get there.
That's awesome. And there's nothing I could say to follow that up other than thank you for traveling out here to be in the podcast. Amazing story. Like I said, you're the personification of the American dream if you're willing to put the work in, and you have. So congratulations on everything you've accomplished, what Body Armor's accomplished, and what you've yet to achieve. So thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. This has been another episode of the Everyday Warrior Podcast. Check us out. Go subscribe at YouTube to the Everyday Warrior Nation. You'll not only find our podcast, you'll find John Welborn's Power Athletes, and then all the articles that we write on human performance, leadership, health and fitness, culture, you name it. All right, guys. Thanks.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.